just north of the Missouri River in the village of Claycomo, is an auto assembly plant that churns out some of the most popular trucks and vans in the country. In September of last year, the president of Ford America stood in front of hundreds of the workers there and announced that 1,200 more jobs would be coming to Claycomo.
Kansas City Assembly Plant will have the most manufacturing capacity under one roof of any plant in the Ford system worldwide.
1,200 new jobs. That Ford plant now employs 6,000 auto workers, and that doesn't include managers and other staff. But guess how many people live in Claycomo, where the plant is located? Just about 1,500. I'm Gina Kaufman. Today on Central Standard, we're exploring the role of Ford in the life of Claycomo. Is Claycomo a company town? I'm sitting here with my friend and former colleague, Dan Verbeck. He's been a reporter around town for many years, including a prolific stint at KCUR.
Hi, Gina.
Hi. It's so great to have you back for
a day. It's nice to be back sitting here across the table from you and with Lonnie next to me.
And we'll talk to Lonnie Bush shortly. She works at the Ford plant. But Dan, what would you say have been the biggest news stories coming out of the Ford plant in Claycomo in your time as a reporter?
Well, the thing that always catches the public's attention is if there's some kind of a job action and any kind of labor strife, because that affects, you know, so many people. It affects people who work there. It affects the community. There's a social aspect to it, and it affects everybody. New lines coming in, expansion of the plant, more jobs. It's good for everybody. The community wins. Everybody really comes out well on it, as long as the contract for the workers is agreeable to them and to the company. So those are the two things.
Those are sort of recurring events. Are there any out of the ordinary events that people might remember?
The last thing that I remember of any newsworthiness in Claycomo was when a large flatbed trailer carrying hives of bees tipped over at the intersection of Vivian Road and 435, and there were bees all over the place. But that was of momentary explosiveness, but only because in the middle of trying to do a live report, sitting in my car, some bees had flown in with me, and I was being stung. And while I was trying to, you know, do a story about what was going on.
That would be memorable. Do you think that Claycomo is a company town? And what would be the meaning of that?
You know, Claycomo is so unchanged by time. I mean, it hasn't been plagued by affluence, certainly. It's your basic little town. It came to be right after the Second World War. When I went up to visit a retired union president who lives in Claycomo, he gave me direction to his house, and he said, "Did you notice anything unusual about the streets when you drove up to my house?" I said, "No, not really." He says, "Well, they're," and I realized later, "they are all named for poets. A man named Munger, who started the town, had some kind of affection for poetry, and so you've got Whittier, you've got Lowell, you've got Eugene Field Road, you've got Poe. All the streets are named for poets.
You've got syllabus."
And I thought, well, this is not usual in a small town, a small blue collar town where, you know, beer and baseball and going to work and taking care of the family are your prime concerns. But there is that to recommend it, at least.
So even though the town in street names and in history is not totally one and the same as the Ford plant, do you think that today, what the Claycomo we know today, is a company town?
Well, you know, a company town, it brings to mind the old coal mine towns where you were beholden to the company and the company store and everybody was always in debt, and that's certainly not the case. Now, I think most of the people who live in Claycomo either work at the plant or have worked at the plant or retired from it or have some business. You know, there are only like 100 businesses in the town. I think everybody to some degree has some connection to Ford.
Well, I want to bring another guest into this discussion. Lonnie Bush is a personal trainer and fitness instructor in the evenings and on weekends. But for her day job, she assembles trucks at the Ford plant in Clay Como. And you've been doing that for how many years, Lonnie?
It'll be 25 years in October.
Happy 25-iversary.
Thank you.
Tell me the story of how you first started working at Ford.
I started at Ford most like a lot of people at Ford. My father worked at Ford. My uncle worked at the union at Ford. So that's how I got on at Ford. Ford is like it's a family-related company. You know,
growing up, what were your impressions of the company growing up, that it was this force that affected everyone in your family?
I just knew my dad came home early in the morning and he was always tired.
Yeah, coming back from this place that somehow wore him out.
Right.
Well, last time we talked, I kind of got the impression that you enjoy building vehicles. Do I remember that right?
When I first started, because I was younger, you know, I enjoyed it. Now the hours are longer. You know, the mandatory Saturdays is tough. So being a single parent, you know, some of the hours, you know, are long, and then the weekends are long. So I still enjoy that I'm employed there. But I don't enjoy the work like I did 25 years ago, to be honest.
Just to check and make sure I understand, is it that the work itself has changed, or is it that as your life has changed, it hasn't worked as well for you?
I want to honestly say it's because my life has changed, because back then I was younger and I was doing a much harder job than I am now. Right now, the job's not hard. But just the hours being in there is harder for me than the work itself.
Dan, what are you thinking?
You know, there's a stereotype, Gina and Lonnie, of the auto worker who does the same task over and over and over, installing this or that, or putting this on the chassis. Is it monotonous? Is it drive you nuts to have to do the same thing over and over? Or is there enough variety now that my stereotype is way off base?
Some of the jobs, it's the same thing. You get out of the truck, you put this part in, you get out of the truck, and you do that 400 times a day. Where some of the jobs, you know, you might have to change different stuff, or you might have to repair, you know, different stuff. So some of the jobs are different. But some of the jobs, yes, you do the same exact thing every day, 10 hours a day.
Describe to me, when you were talking about being younger and the job you did being even harder than what you do now, describe what it was you were doing. And if I recall, you wear a jumpsuit?
Yes. In the body shop, you have to wear long sleeve coveralls. Mind you, you know, we don't have air at Ford and we have no windows. So it's pretty hot in there. So in the body shop, it's pretty hard. But when I first hired in, I was 21 years old. I had just had my son. I hadn't even had a 6-week checkup yet. I had to bring a doctor's note saying that I could work. And when I first came, they had me installing carpet. When a new hire walks in the plant, if it's someone with seniority and they're on a tougher job, that's their chance to get off the job and give it to a new hire, because you can't really fight the job. You just do the job. And back then, there was no, this is a lady's job, this is a man's job. They were just jobs.
So installing carpet, what does that involve?
Back then, it involved picking up the whole carpet and throwing
it in. Like a ream of it?
Yes, into the front of it. And if it was a stick shift, you had to lift the carpet and place it over that hole.
Hot work, huh?
Hot work.
No air conditioning? Fans?
No, we have fans.
Wow.
You know, but
yeah.
If you're outside in 100-degree weather, yeah, and you got fans blowing, you know, and I think with the community, all they see is, okay, these auto workers, they make decent money, and they have good health insurance, and they're always complaining about a raise, or they have no clue, you know, how hard some of us work inside that plant.
Talk to me about the culture of the plant itself. What's it like in there? What are the kinds of relationships people have?
It's not strange to to have a, you know, a gentleman working next to you, and then, you know, going over to the another line and his daughter works there, you know, or seeing a husband and a wife on break together, you know, or seeing two sisters on break together. It's very, you're not going to find too many people that's not related to someone there, or their next door neighbor, you know, is there. It's very, very
close.
Yes.
Close. Yeah.
You commute, is that right?
Yes.
So is that typical, or is it common for people to live in Clay Como, or most people commute like you?
Most people commute. Now, I live in Raytown, so it only takes me 25 minutes probably get to work. But I know people that live in Kearney. You know, some people travel as far as an hour away to get to Ford, and then an hour, you know, to get back. And if the weather's bad, some of them have to leave 2 hours early.
So. Man, that is a long day. Talk to me about the relationship between people who arrive to work there every day and the people in the community surrounding. Is there much interaction?
Like he said, there's not a lot of businesses in Clay Como. So if I was to go, you know, right up to Liberty to Walmart, or I go to the corner cafe and get something to eat, everybody knows Ford coveralls. You know, everybody knows because, you know, those are, or, you know, and then if we was to ever go on strike, those companies and those businesses, they would lose revenue because most of their business do come from Ford employees.
Dan, talk to me about what you know about the relationship between Clay Como and the Ford plant, like the interpersonal connections or the business connections.
As I say, there are not a lot of businesses there, but those that are rely on some volume. You don't get a lot of volume when you've got 1,200 people living there, and it's one of the tiniest communities in Metro Kansas City. You know, you've got other places like Platte Woods, which are pretty small, but it's a small town. I don't see that there's any animosity, certainly, between the people in the town. It's not like a university. You got a town versus gown kind of a syndrome. You don't have that, but yes, if Ford shut down, Clay Como would pretty well wither up business-wise. People who live there, you know, they'd continue to live there, but there's not a lot of what would I call it, upward mobility. People don't move to Clay Como because it's a cool place to live. They're not coming out of Leawood and saying, "Yeah, I aspire to live in Clay Como."
What's it like there? How would you describe the vibe or the personality?
Placid.
What would you say, Lonnie?
Like he said, it's even me living in Raytown, I wouldn't want to move to Clay Como. I mean, it's not a whole lot going on. There's a Ford plant there, and then, you know, the businesses. So it's not a town to where you say, yeah, you know, I'm going to move to Clay Como.
Yeah, there's no movie theater.
Right.
There's a McDonald's.
Right.
There's a number of secondhand stores. There's a really vibrant gun shop there that's
right.
Doing business, you know, almost, you know, 12, 14 hours a day.
The same car wash is there that I went and watched my first car 25 years ago. That car wash is still there. So it's not a lot going on.
It's a static town. it's pretty much what it was quite a few years ago.
I feel like maybe you have just answered this question, but I want to ask it anyway. I went to the website for Clay Como, and it isn't called the city of Clay Como or the town of Clay Como. They call it the Village of Clay Como. I mean, mm-hmm. That's in capital letters, the Village of Clay Como. Does it feel like a village? What would that tell you about this town?
If we were in England, it would be a hamlet. It's diminutive. I guess that's what village implies. It's small. It's fairly uncomplicated. Doesn't have a real rigorous government. Although I think the politics are pretty pretty active up there.
Let's hear about that. And when we come back, Central Standard's headed to a break, and we'll be returning right to this conversation about Clay Como and Ford. Ford and Clay Como. I'm Gina Kaufman. Stay tuned. We're back. Hi again, Dan Verbeck.
Hey.
And welcome back, Lonnie Bush.
Hello.
I'm Gina Kaufman. This is Central Standard, and we're thinking about Clay Como as a company town. It's the site of a major Ford plant, which employs 6,000 auto workers. Dan has reported on industry throughout the greater metropolitan area, and Lonnie is one of those 6,000 employees at the plant. You can weigh in, too. We'd love to hear from a Clay Como resident or business owner. Call 816-235-2888. The number to call, again, is 816-235-2888. Lonnie, have you ever been involved in a strike at the Ford plant? We've referred to strikes and that's something that happens.
In the 25 years I've been there, I've never been involved in a strike. It always comes right down to that last minute. One time it got so close, we were getting our stuff about to walk, and they said, no, just stay. We're going to extend it. I can now say this is the closest I've ever been to a strike. With the new contract coming up in September, this is the first time they have employees collecting canned food and perishable, non-perishable items and dropping it off. This is the closest I think it's ever came to being a strike, because there are so many new hires there. I think they're thinking like, you know, let's get these items, because these people haven't had enough time to save up money. You know, so this is the closest that I've ever been to coming, you know, going on strike.
So they've been at the table for a while then, huh?
They have.
Yeah. Dan, in your coverage, I mean, have you ever covered a strike in this area?
Yeah, I've covered a bunch of them. The teachers, the firefighters, something at Ford long ago. And I was a union shop steward, complete disclosure. I was a union shop steward at another place, not KCUR, for 20 years. So I know a little bit about what goes on.
At Ford in particular, have there been like historic strikes in our area?
The only historic strike that I have read about, because it was before my time, and I think it was maybe the 1930s when Ford was not at the location it is now. It was down on the east side, just this side of 435 along the Blue River in the old Sheffield district. They called it the Sheffield plant. They said, I've read that the strike there was the first strike against Ford outside of Detroit in history. So there's some history of labor activism, and yeah.
Have you tried to cover labor issues at Ford at any point?
You know, how you cover it, it has to be, it's almost sub rosa, because nobody will talk to you, you know, right up front outside of what the company line or the union line is going to be. But to find out what's really going on at the table, you've got to know somebody on the inside. And that's pretty hard to do sometimes.
So if you're in Clay Como and you're working at Ford, and somehow there's like you develop bad blood with Ford, or is this, I'm guessing that this is not a good place to burn bridges with Ford, although it sounds like most of the employees live elsewhere in town. I mean, Lonnie, for yourself, like, do you feel like your relationship with Ford is sort of like a relationship by choice?
I wouldn't say that. Me being an employee there, I'm more concerned with my relationship with my union than I am with Ford Motor Company myself. There's a lot of employees that have issues with Ford, you know, itself. You know what I mean? That has issues with Ford, or they're upset with Ford, or, you know, something like that. So you want to keep a good relationship, you know, show up to work on time, do your job. But at the end,
like you would anywhere.
Yeah, at the end of the day, I'm more concerned with my relationship with my union than I am with Ford Motor Company itself, if that makes sense.
It does.
Yeah, they're the ones that are going to take care of you, because they're the people on your left and right while you're working, and then you've got the situation of John Sayles said it in his movie Matewan about the labor unions in the 1920s, 30s. He's that they're them that work and them that don't. You got the company and you got the workers, and there's a vast valley between the two.
Dan, Talk to me a little bit about the politics of Clay Como, because you had mentioned just before the break that those were getting interesting.
I think it always has been, but it's very insular, and it's, you know, for city council and the like, and it's a spinoff from Clay County politics, Clay County politics are probably some of the most vicious in the metropolitan area, unless you've covered a little bit of what goes on in Clay County. And it's all often, you know, within the same party. It's left and right. They're all battling. The primaries are incredible in Clay County, and there's some effect that filters down, I think, to the aldermanic, if you want to call it that, races in Clay Como.
Why do you think that is? Why do you think there's this difference?
Oh, you know, In some ways, I think it goes back to the fact that Clay County, Clay Como being the conjunction of Clay and County, and Missouri, goes back to maybe after the Civil War. It's been that the whole region has been very particular about, we are Northlanders. We're not like those Johnson County, Kansas people. We're not like Jackson County. We are our own. We have our own personality, and we are, you know, we've been Democrats since Reconstruction. That has begun to change over time, as in Platte County, where it's made a radical shift. But yeah, we are our own folks, and
you know,
don't mess with us.
It's funny that you mention that, because I just realized yesterday, embarrassingly enough, that Clay Como stands for Clay County, Missouri. I mean, the name of the town is sort of reasserting where it lives.
It's not really original, no. but somebody did think of it back in the 40s.
It's got a nice ring to it. Lonnie, tell me, do you feel like as a worker at the Ford plant that the politics of Clay County have a big effect on you?
Yes. If we're off work or we're not, you know, they want us to volunteer. You know, we go knock on doors. When it's time for election, we pass out flyers. They want us to work the phone banks, the people that they're supporting. They want us to put the signs in the yard. It's very, very political. And then, of course, we always want to endorse the candidates that's going to look out for the auto workers.
Right.
You know, so, you know, if the mayor, you know, he comes to the plant, we want to get those people in office that's going to look out for us auto workers and our jobs. So when it's time for an election, it's very serious.
It's convenient marriage.
Right.
Although maybe temporary until the next election cycle
comes around.
And then there's an annulment or something.
Yeah. Right.
Is there a lot of agreement among workers there in the plant about who is representing you guys best, or is that up for debate all the time?
And sometimes that's up for debate, because although we, you know, some of them want to get the candidates in that's going to, you know, support us as auto workers, what if that candidate is not going to help me, you know, in other things? A lot of people, we don't live in Clay Como. We don't live, you know, we might live in Jackson County, you know, so we have to figure out, do we vote for this person, you know, because they're going to do, you know, one or two things as far as my job is concerned, or do I vote for this person that's going to do seven or eight things as far as my child that's in school? Or so, yeah, you'll have somebody working right next to you, and you can get in a heated debate why you're going to vote for that person and why they're not. So I don't discuss politics at Ford.
Oh, it's a smart thing.
Let's talk to Shannon, who's calling us from Little Italy. Hi, Shannon.
Hi.
Can you tell me exactly where you mean by Little Italy?
Downtown, just to the east of the city market.
Gotcha. Okay.
I'm just working over here and heard your conversation and wanted to chime in.
Yeah, please share.
Fiance, My fiance works at Ford. I won't say his name. He's been out there for almost 30 years. And I'm just wondering why the union has never gotten them air conditioning. I think that, in my opinion, I don't care how much they get paid, they're working in substandard conditions when they're working in over 100-degree facilities without air conditioning. And it takes a huge, huge toll on their health. I see it firsthand. And I'm just wondering if they're going to do anything about that ever. Or, I mean, the new people need to, in my mind, be thinking about that for their future the future of their health.
Yeah, let's hear what Lonnie has to say about that.
Me as an employee, we've always had those questions. What we are told is the plant is too old to try to go in and, you know, do a central air unit. You know,
so
if we
retrofitting.
Were a new facility and we were building from the ground up, it would be easier. But because the plant is so old, it would take a lot to go in. And, you know, but I would love for them to figure out a way to put some air in there.
There's the space is so huge, and there's got to be a lot of wasted space up in the ceiling. I mean, it'd be like trying to air condition an airplane hangar or an aircraft carrier or something. It's I can see that, you know, it would be difficult.
Tell me more about the physical space. I mean, I haven't been to the plant. I'll admit that. Describe for me where we are, where we're talking about, what it looks like.
If you were to go in, it's huge. It's a huge area. They have done a lot of work in it, but it's a huge area, and it's an assembly line. Where I work at, I'm in the body shop now, but it's not an assembly line. So you'll see robots moving. You'll see hollow drivers driving. You'll see tug drivers driving. It's a lot going on. It's a lot going on.
Lonnie, is there something that you wish people knew about the Ford plant and the people who work there that you don't think they do know?
That some of us are hard workers. Some of us, you know, we go to work. You know, we go every day. You know, we're on time. I meet so many people that think that, you know, we're lazy. You know, all we do is drink and beg for more money. And, you know, I work with some people that are hard workers. You know, some people that go in early, they'll give up their breaks. They'll go work, you know, shut down. I mean, these are some hard workers, you know, and if anybody knew anything, I would want them to know that. Yes, there are some lazy employees. Yes, there are some that's late.
Take advantage. 6,000.
Yes, take advantage, you know, of the system. But don't judge us as auto workers for that 25% that's, you know, that's like that.
Dan, what's your sense of the perception of Clay Como in Kansas City on the whole? And do you think there's something that people miss?
I think most people never even give Clay Como a thought, but once or twice in their lives. It's a quiet little town where not much goes on. That just happens to be right next to one of the largest employers in the metropolitan area. It's just a sleepy little town.
And then I have to add, with any big company in a smaller town with so many employees, you're always going to have some negativity. If I was to say something that I saw in the past and a little now being a problem, it is kind of like with the police department. Do I feel they harass Ford employees sometimes? Yes. Yes, I do. You know, if they're going to get off at 3, you know, some of them, they do go across the street. They hang out, you know, at the hall. Do I feel that sometimes they wait on them to leave the parking lot? Yeah. Do I feel like if they pull them over on a Tuesday for having tinted windows, give them a ticket? You know they got to go back to work Wednesday. They haven't had time. I found that in the past sometimes that they would pull the same people over repeatedly.
So it feels like predatory ticketing almost?
Sometimes, yes. And maybe because there's not a whole lot going on. But do I feel that sometime with the police department that they harass employees? Yes, I do.
Steady source of revenue for the town, certainly. All you got to do is pick off some people getting off work, and you've made your quota if they have quotas.
That might be something worth looking into, for sure. And yeah, Lonnie, how do you feel when you're out just doing your thing in Kansas City and you see a Ford truck driving by? Does that feel like anything special to you?
I'll be like, thank you. Thank you. That's, you know, especially the new vehicle. That's my profit sharing. Thanks a lot.
Lonnie Bush, thanks for stepping away from the Ford plant to chat with us today.
You're welcome.
And Dan Verbeck, it's been great having you. We miss you.
Nice to be back. Thank you.
When we return, we'll discuss what happens when artists treat city blocks as new frontiers. I'm Gina Kaufman. Central Standard will be right back.